This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. U.S. officials, including Iraq Viceroy Paul Bremer, who was summoned from Baghdad, held a hastily convened White House meeting on Tuesday to discuss ways to accelerate the shift from U.S. to Iraqi control amid indications that the Bush administration was rethinking policy. Washington wants the U.S.-appointed Iraqi Governing Council to agree to a method for drawing up a constitution which would pave the way for democratic elections and a handover of power. The U.N. Security Council has set a December 15th deadline for the Governing Council to schedule a timetable for the political transition. A senior U.S. official said Bremer was not expected to leave his job, but other officials said there was mounting friction between Bremer and Washington over his resistance to accelerating the transfer of authorities to Iraqis. A car bomb ripped through an Italian military base in the Iraqi town of Nasiriyah on Wednesday, killing at least 14 Italians and 8 Iraqis in what appeared to be a fresh suicide attack. The attack occurred as Washington attempted to speed up the process of handing over power to an Iraqi government, although U.S. officials insist this is not an exit strategy. Carabinieri military police officials in Rome said the Italian deaths were believed to be 11 military police and 3 army soldiers. Hospital officials in Nasiriyah said 8 Iraqis were killed. A new top-secret intelligence report warns that Iraqis are losing faith in occupation forces, a development that is increasing support for the resistance. CIA officials refuse to confirm the existence of the report, but it comes to light amid high-level meetings here on the situation on the ground in Iraq. 2 other senior U.S. officials said the report paints a worrisome picture of the political and security situation there. It suggests that spiraling violence and a lack of confidence in the U.S.-appointed Iraqi Governing Council may be bringing efforts to a turning point, sending more Iraqis over to the side of insurgents fighting occupation troops. Because the report is classified, they talk about it only in general terms and only on the grounds they would not be publicly identified. The officials declined to furnish details. More news after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Tell me, old chef, for the future. Can it carry apple?
Oh, it can carry apple.
Art Carney, who played Jackie Gleason's sewer worker pal Ed Norton in the classic TV series The Honeymooners, has died at 85. Carney died in Chester, Connecticut on Sunday and was buried on Tuesday after a small private funeral. He had been ill for some time. The comic actor would be forever identified as Norton, Ralph Kramden's bowling buddy and not-too-bright upstairs neighbor on The Honeymooners. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved LiquiCaps.
Time for another Gooberhead Award, presented periodically to those in the news who had their tongues running 100 miles an hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's award is shared by the U.S. Ambassador to Bolivia and his higher-ups who are in charge of America's screwy drug policy. What's screwy in this case is Washington's insistence that our homegrown cocaine problem can be solved if only impoverished farmers in Bolivia and elsewhere can be forced to stop growing coca. But these farmers point out that, hello, coca is not cocaine. It's just a leaf crop that they've been growing and consuming for centuries, since before there was a U.S. of A., with the leaves themselves simply chewed by the native people as a safe and mild stimulant, like coffee is used by us Americans every day. Chemicals manufactured in the U.S. are what's used to turn this natural leaf into a horribly addictive and destructive powder. But rather than focus on the Latin and U.S. kingpins who make, distribute, finance, and profit so enormously from this processed drug, the gooberheads in charge of drug policy and Latin American diplomacy have been pounding on the poor coca farmers. They sprayed poisons on hundreds of thousands of acres, destroying not only the coca crops, but also the livelihoods of peasant families. Then, when Evo Morales, the foremost advocate of these families in Bolivia, ran for president, our diplomats imperiously tried to have him expelled from the Bolivian Congress and declared that his election would be considered, quote, a hostile act against the U.S. by the Bolivian people. Unsurprisingly, this further fueled the people's explosive anger at our government. Yet David Greenlee, the U.S. ambassador there, blithely declared that, we think on balance that our policies have been positive things for Bolivia. We don't think it is a problem. This is Tim Hightower saying, hey, Mr. Gooberhead, I don't think you have a clue.
Did you hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Wednesday evening evening program. I'm still having trouble talking, and it's going to be this way for a while, so sorry, but Program produced, as always, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-825-5937. That's 800-TALK-YES. And you can email during the program to MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. A little while, we're going to play Guess the Word of the Day with Simple Scotty McClellan, Bush's spokesperson, White House press secretary. He has a new word of the day, and there will be no prizes for this, but you will find it completely amusing, as you do any time we play anything from Scotty McClellan. He is questioned severely by the crack White House press corps and refuses to answer reporters' questions about Ambassador, I love that term, Bremer's emergency visit to the White House today from Baghdad. So we'll have all that coming up here probably within a reasonable amount of time. The Senate is getting ready for an all-nighter. I've got to tell you about this, the news aspect of this, and then a little personal take on it, what happened today. But the Senate is going to do what they're calling a talkathon. Talkathon. How about that? Talk. Jesus, it's hard to talk. A talkathon. It's set to last all tonight, and it's going to be about who's to blame for the fact that some of too stupid to be president's nominees are not making it to the federal appeals bench. Now, this would be a good point for me to pause and say, of the names submitted by the Bush crime family to become judges, remember, judges are there forever unless they die or resign or are impeached. Of the names submitted by the Bush crime family, 168 have been confirmed, 4 have not. All right? Now, somebody quick, figure the percentage. What is that? less than 1.5%. The Democrats have said no to 4. They've said yes to 168. The 4 they've said no to are neo-fascist. And that's what the function of the Senate is not to be neo-fascist, but to make sure that judges are confirmed who are mainstream. So, the Republicans, being the bedwetting, thumb-sucking, pants-peeing geeks that they are going to have what they're calling a reverse filibuster. They have decided, the Senate leadership has decided to have 30 hours that will be equally divided amongst Democrats and Republicans, where everybody can get up and bitch and cry and moan. Now, the idea here, this sounds counterproductive. Why would the Republicans do that? Well, there's kind of a catch. If the way it's going to work, the two sides will split the 30 hours and trade shifts. Now, tell me if this is not infantile. The Democrats have to go along with it because of what happens if they don't. But listen to this. The Democrats and Republicans will split this 30 hours and trade shifts so that there will be a senator from each party on the floor at all times. For example, a Republican will talk from 3 a.m. to 3:30 a.m. while a Democrat watches. Then they'll switch roles for the next 30 minutes and then head home to bed, replaced by two others for the next shift. Now, because the Senate rules require agreement from both sides to quickly confirm a nominee, the Republicans can't force a confirmation as long as a Democrat is present on the floor to object. But if the Democrat falls asleep or stops paying attention, the Republicans will immediately confirm the nominees. Rick Santorum, a man who should come out of the closet and admit he's gay. There's nothing wrong with it, Rick. It's okay. Rick Santorum says the Democrats are forewarned. If the floor is not protected, the vote will be called, Santorum said. We're going to do everything we can to do what they're doing, ratcheting up the intensity on this issue. What are the Democrats doing? The Democrats are performing their function of advice and consent. The Republicans are nothing more than neo-fascists who are rubber stamps for Bush. But it's incredible. How many Clinton nominees, was it 48, was it 68, that were utterly and absolutely refused by the Republicans because the Clinton nominees were not conservative enough? Okay, the Clinton nominees were conservative. They were middle of the road. But the Bush whiners, this bunch of Republicans, I swear to God, if I were king of America, I would adopt from Singapore their habit of caning, and I would take a platoon of paratroopers into the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives one at a time, and after we overcame all the guards, we would take all Republicans, the men, we'd leave the women out of this, take all the men, take their pants down, take their boxer shorts down, turn them over a desk, and whale the hell out of their their ample round ass cheeks. That's what I would do if I were king of the world, because they're acting like infantiles. You don't know what an infantile is? Now, Senator Tom Daschle said if Republicans stop paying attention, the Democrats will immediately pass Democratic legislation like a bill to raise the minimum wage, or one to create a tax credit, or one to stimulate creation of manufacturing jobs. You see, this is what we're reduced to with Republicans. All Republicans are liars, thieves, cheats, sneaks, children, immoral, illogical, without an ethical foundation, and very, very childish. Daschle said the Republicans are consumed by those four jobs, those four nominees, and ignore the 3 million jobs that we've lost over the course of the last 3 years under this administration's economic policy. So that is what's happening tonight, starting tonight. Now, you probably got the same email I got from moveon.org or democrats.org to sign a petition that will then be mailed to, emailed, I guess, to Democrats tomorrow. The four in question are Janice Brown, whom the New York Times described as among the very worst of Bush's nominees. The Times also said that as an arch conservative justice on the California Supreme Court, she has declared war on the mainstream legal values that most Americans hold dear. That's one. Two is Priscilla Owen, who represents the neo-fascist right on the Texas Supreme Court. One of her many rightward dissents from that court's majority opinions was describing as an unconscionable act of judicial activism by Alberto Gonzalez, who was then also a justice on the Texas court, but is now Bush's chief White House counsel. So even down in Texas, they can't agree on who's the thug and who rides the white horse and has the white hat. Another one is Carolyn Kuhl. Now, you've noticed something here. Of the four, three are female. Does this not prove that the Democrats are anti-woman? You see, that's what the Republicans are saying. Carolyn Kuhl, who threw out a suit brought by a woman with breast cancer, whose doctor had brought a drug company salesman into the examining room where the salesman, witnessed an intimate examination of this woman. A unanimous appeals court later reversed Carolyn's decision. And then, of course, Charles Pickering, the white man who is probably one of the worst racists in the history of the state of Mississippi because he keeps it all artfully concealed. He took extraordinary and ethically questionable steps to try to reduce a mandatory jail sentence for a man convicted of burning an 8-foot cross on the lawn of an interracial couple. Justice Pickering thought, well, apparently he thought, well, what the hell, it was just done in sport, no harm intended. So that's what's going on. Now, I got a phone call today from a person well-placed in the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, and this person said, hey, Mike, you know what's going on tonight? I said, yeah. Well, we were trying to get some guests out. We would like to have a spokesperson from the Democratic side come on your program and explain all this. And I said, oh, okay, well, that sounds good. Who is it? Well, and you could almost hear the drum roll. It's like this guy wanted a drum roll. He said, well, pause, how about Tom Daschle? And I said, well, how about somebody else? Because my audience doesn't like Tom Daschle, A. B, neither do I. So I'm just totally underwhelmed by your offer of Tom Daschle to come on my program and talk about this little event tonight. If you have a staffer, somebody on his staff, somebody, anybody, reach into the bowels of the Democratic Party. Come up with an articulate, well-spoken, male or female, who can come on the program for 5 or 6 or 8 minutes and talk about this. Oh, okay, I guess. you don't want Tom Daschle. No, my audience doesn't like him. Why? Because he's not a Democrat. Okay. Well, we'll get somebody and get back to you. when was it, Kathy? At 3 o'clock this afternoon, right? So, apparently I pissed off somebody, and my response to that is tough. Tom Daschle. Yeah, I'll put Tom Daschle on this program when he starts acting like a Democrat. Did I hang up on Daschle? I thought it was Gephardt.
You hung up on Gephardt a couple of times, but you also hung up on Tom Daschle.
Did I do it deliberately?
I don't think so,
yeah.
But I think it was one of those, as Bush would say, subliminable moments.
Right. Well, you're saying I really did intend to, but it appeared, well. I don't believe in hanging up on people unless they're trying to sell me something, which never happens anymore because we got on the no-call list. But I've spent 3 years on this program talking about how disgusting the Democratic Party leadership has become. I'm sorry. I'm a Democrat. I love my party. I love what my party represents and what it has stood for since the 30s. But I also think that the current crop of leaders in the Democratic Party are as useless as tits on a bull. And that's spelled T-E-A-T-S. No, you don't pronounce it teats. You do? All right. As useless as teats on a bull. We need new Democratic Party leadership. We need Howard Dean. We need Dennis Kucinich. We need, who else do we need? Well, I guess that's it. I can't think of too many more. All right. A rock report coming up right after this break. It's not good. It's not good at all. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
They can run and hide. Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide.
Republicans suck!
Suck. Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress for pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling sprouty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show. We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard that says, support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, the last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things. The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights, making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Boy, could the situation in Iraq get any worse? And, of course, the fast answer to that is yes. The longer answer is yes, much worse. Part of the problem here, of course, is that our military troops have not been trained for nation building. They have not been trained to help establish a democracy. What our military, like all good militaries, are trained to do is to kill people and bust things up. That's the nature of war. And when a war is over, the group that has killed the most and busted the most things up is usually declared the winner. That's not always the case, Vietnam is a good example, but usually that's the case. So our military is there trying to relate to a civilian population that is rapidly beginning to hate our military. For example, American soldiers handcuffed and put masking tape around an Iraqi man's mouth after they arrested him for speaking out against the occupation forces. That would be us. Asked why the man had been arrested and put into the back of a Humvee vehicle, the commanding officer told the Reuters reporter at the scene, "This man has been detained for making anti-coalition statements." It certainly has a familiar ring to it, doesn't it? Sounds like something you might have heard in Franco's Spain or Mao's China or Mussolini's Italy. No, I'll leave off Hitler's Germany. But doesn't this man has been detained for making anti-coalition statements? The commanding officer refused to say what the man had said. A U.S. military spokesman said he had no immediate information on the incident. Now, you remember the raison d'etre for our being there, or the causus belli. Am I doing that right, Kathy? Hell, I took Latin, not you. No, I guess you did take a year of it, didn't you? But if you remember, both of those rationales were based on the fact that with Saddam Hussein in power, the Iraqis could not have free speech. So Saddam has been toppled or otherwise disposed of, and the Americans are there now, and we are arresting and handcuffing and firmly wrapping masking tape around a person's mouth who says, "I don't like you." This is free speech and democracy after years of iron-fisted rule by Saddam Hussein, who was supported by the American government for 20 years. Another U.S. soldier who was on the scene swore at the Iraqis, ordered them to move back, and according to Reuters, school teachers and young students looked on. We are going to have our asses handed to us in Iraq. You do understand that, don't you? You do. Of course you do. Those of us on the left who have been talking about this ever since this rat bastard in the White House manufactured the invasion are not surprised. We are surprised that we are approaching 400 dead Americans now, thousands of dead Iraqis, thousands of dead Afghans. And I'm not talking about whatever military Iraqis or Afghans. And when I talk, I'm talking about civilians. And please keep in mind of the National Guard and U.S. reservists who have been killed in Afghanistan and Iraq, they, too, are technically civilians. But because of what this crime family, the Bush crime family, has done and continues to do, we are going to continue to have Americans slaughtered. And today it was the Italians' turn in the coffin, with 18 of them being blown to pieces, along with 8 Iraqis. Now, why is this happening? Well, you know the answer, but I'll add my 2 cents worth when we come back. Stay with us. Please. Seems like it'll be an endless price tag of most tremendous and most disturbing. Leave the death toll so horrendous. So I send this to those that say the defenders. Send this in the harm's way. We should all make a remembrance that this is bigger than terrorism. Blood is blood is blood in them. Love is true vision. Who will listen? How many songs did you see? You can bomb it for the pieces. You can't bomb it into pieces. We can take down all our enemies. We can bring them to their knees.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A group of marine scientists writes up a new definition of normal to help protect coral reefs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Coral reefs are some of the most diverse of all marine ecosystems, but the picture of what's diverse today pales in comparison to what the reefs were like 1,000 years ago. Marine scientists say the description of what was once normal for coral reefs shows how badly they need protection today. A dozen scientists studied the history of coral reefs around the world. They documented a steady decline in their health that began hundreds of years ago. They say coral reef ecosystems will not survive for more than a few decades unless they're protected thoroughly and immediately. One of the scientists is Deborah McArdle. She's a marine advisor with the California Sea Grant Program. McArdle studied reefs in the Caribbean Sea near the Virgin Islands. She uncovered details about their diversity as they existed several thousand years ago.
There used to be many, many large turtles. There used to be many large fish. There used to be many large lobster and abundant lobster. So I think once people start to realize there were so many animals, then we can start to set targets for what we want the ocean to look like, which are appropriate in order to restore them.
McArdle says many reefs have been destroyed by over-exploitation of large fish at the top of the food chain. That starts a series of events that produces huge amounts of algae, and the algae smother the coral. McArdle believes proper fishery management could restore the health of coral reefs as long as it addresses the enormous impact people have made on them already. The study by McArdle and her colleagues was published last summer in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Yeah, you will, won't you, you moron? It'll take time to restore chaos. Jesus, God. How did this happen? What happened? Did God, if there is a God, did he or she just absolutely turn his or her face away from us and say, I'm going to give you George Bush? You know, this killing, the reason we are doomed in Iraq is because we are trying to impose a form of government, we call it democracy, that is totally foreign, no pun intended, to the Iraqis. Democracy is not wanted in Iraq. It will not work in Iraq. It is not part of the Iraqi culture. They will fight against it till they are all dead or we are all gone, or a combination of both. They have a tribal system of self-government that is based, it has been based since, Jesus, what, 5,000 years on blood ties, on families, on a hierarchical paternalistic system that democracy will not replace. It's not going to happen. They elect representatives who go to tribal councils, and each level up the tribal council is one step further up this ladder of governance. They do not use our system of justice. They have no use for our economic system. The Quran prohibits interest. They do not have our cultural traditions, as shredded and crappy as they are in this country, and they don't want them. Now imagine the Iraqi army invading us. Now I realize that's a stretch, but try to imagine it. The Iraqi army invades us, blows up our major cities, takes over this country, and then you have some half-assed Iraqi civilian assume power and appoint a council of Americans picked from various cultural levels and walks of life. And this council is told, okay, first of all, we're going to redesign your money. That's the first thing we're going to do. No more U.S. dollar. We're going to change it, just like we did in Iraq. And secondly, they say, now, you folks, your democracy crap is ridiculous. You are going to establish self-governments using the tribal system. And it's going to be based on your family blood ties. Now get to work. Here's the model. Look at us. This is how you are going to do it. Oh, by the way, your court system is no good. This idea of guilty until, or innocent until proven guilty, and a jury of your peers, and judges and appeals. No, 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 no. You come into a tribal council meeting, you and your adversary, you both plead your case, and a decision is made instantaneously of which you both will adhere to, or to which you both will adhere. That's the kind of justice system you're going to have. Finance, first of all your banks are going to be closed because they are in violation of the Quran. Your laws make no sense. If someone commits a murder on your streets, that person will be executed before sundown. End of story. Would we resist? Yeah, we would. Will the Iraqis resist until they are all dead or we are all gone? Yes, they will. You know, democracy may be great if you live in a Western-style culture or society. And we can, you know, we can find roots of so-called democracy any place we want to look. If we start with a certain ancient cultural groups, the Greeks immediately come to mind. But people in the Middle East that have been for thousands of years a tribal people, even when they weren't drifting across the sands like Bedouins, they are still a tribal people. They have a religion called Islam. If our system of government, like the right-wingers in this country like to proclaim anytime they're given a chance, if it's based on Christianity, their system is based on Islam. So we're going to come in and say, oh, guess what? First of all, new money. We don't like the design of your money. Secondly, we're taking over all your resources. Third, we will appoint a tribal or a council here. It's not going to be called tribal. They won't be able to make any decisions, but this is a game we're playing for Americans back in the United States. This is a game we're playing for the Brits up in the UK. This is a game we're playing for the rest of the civilized world. We're pretending like we're establishing democracy here. We are not. And we understand you people hate democracy. That doesn't make you beasts. It just means you have a different system. But we're going to present it as though you are beasts because you don't like our system. And we will kill you. And of course we know you're going to kill us. But we will continue to kill you because we have bigger guns and more weapons than you do until you accept what we are imposing on you. Oh, why are we doing this? Because, you jackasses, you have oil! That's all we want, is your oil! And of course, most of us understand now that just prior to the war, the invasion, the killing, Saddam Hussein made a last-ditch offer to the Americans. I'll give you whatever you want. You can have the oil. You can have natural resources here. we'll cut a deal. We'll cut a deal. Saddam Hussein's representatives attempted to buy off the Bush administration with these concessions. As reported by the Telegraph of the UK, the offer of lucrative oil and mineral deals for U.S. companies was conveyed to Richard Pearl, who isn't even in the government. It was rejected. The White House said, look, we already gave you our final offer. You got 48 hours to leave Iraq. Get out of Dodge! The last-minute negotiations were brokered, according to the Telegraph of the UK, by a well-connected Lebanese-American businessman, Imad Hajj. Mr. Hajj told the New York Times that he held secret meetings in Beirut and Baghdad with the head of Saddam's intelligence operation and with the chief of foreign operations for the Iraqi spy agency. On the eve of the war, Iraq publicly offered unlimited access for American and British weapons hunters, everything. But you see, the one thing that Saddam did not offer was all of his resources. And that is precisely what one segment of the Bush crime family wanted. The other segment, the American Zionists, wanted control of the country. People like James Baker and Schultz and the thugs at Halliburton, they couldn't care less about the Jews or the Palestinians or the Muslims. We don't want anything to do with that. We go to nice Episcopal churches down here in Texas or up here in New York or over here in California. We don't care about that. We want the oil. The Iraqis will simply never accept what we call democracy. It will not happen. The Vietnamese would not and shall never accept what we call democracy. Nor will the Russians, nor will the Chinese, nor will the Japanese, nor will probably about 70% of the population of the earth. But of course, you and I both know that this argument of, oh, we're trying to bring democracy to Iraq is only the latest in the Bush crime family's attempt to rationalize the slaughter that they have perpetrated against a sovereign people. It was weapons of mass destruction, weren't it? It was nuclear bombs ready to go off, wasn't it? It was a threat to his neighbors, I think. It was he gassed his own people. Don't you remember? No, none of that occurred. What it really was, well, the gassed his own people part, that's still operative. But the real operative phrase now is, well, we have overthrown a despot, a tyrant. We are bringing freedom and democracy to the Iraqis. And by Christ, they will accept it. They will accept what we are bringing. They will. Of course, we know it's not real democracy, but they'll still accept it because real democracy, one person, one vote, Iraq would be the Islamic Republic of Iraq within 10 minutes of such a vote, and we're not going to allow that to happen. They will accept what we call democracy, and if they don't, we will kill them, and we will continue to kill them, and they will kill us, but it's a reasonable sacrifice. Because when we have people killed, Mr. Bush, when he gives his fundraising speeches, will occasionally mention the incredible gratitude shared by the American public for the families of the dead men and women who are trying to impose democracy in Iraq. You see how this works, don't you? Meanwhile, the Italians took it today. A car bomb ripped through the Italian military police base. 18 Italians, no more. 8 Iraqi civilians, no more. Another suicide attack. Damn, how do you fight people who are willing to blow themselves up in order to get your filthy ass out of their country? How do you fight that? Well, you don't. And the timing of the attack was exquisite in its painfulness. Just as Bush and the U.S. proconsul in that country, Paul Bremer, were discussing ways to accelerate the transition to democracy in Iraq, the attack occurred. 80 wounded. A spokesman with the Italian military said the death toll could rise. Immediately, Italian Prime Minister and well-known Italian fascist Silvio Berlusconi said Italy would not be intimidated by the bombing and the death. After all, they're only Italians. Who cares? We have 50 or 60 million of them to go. Oliviero Dilberto, one of the members of the Italian Chamber of Deputies, said, in the face of this huge tragedy, I will ask only one question. In whose name had they been sent to their deaths? Had the government listened to us, our troops would not have been sent to die. Alfonso Scagno, the leader of the Green Party in Italy, said troops should be pulled out of Iraq. He said it is immoral to put the lives of thousands of young Italians at risk for Bush's war. We hope, he said, that everybody will agree that we need to pull out our troops immediately. The European Commission's president, current president, is an Italian. Romano Prodi said on an official state visit to Senegal that it is time for Iraq operations to be taken over by the UN. He said, I had always thanked God because the Italians had been spared, but our fears were justified. This time, it was our turn. And yesterday, was it yesterday, the first Polish soldier since the end of World War II died in combat when he was killed in Iraq. Jody's calling from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Hey, Jody.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Listen, I know this is frivolous, but I was thinking if these Iraqis invading us are gonna have to take out George Bush, I'm not so sure I'm gonna resist. I think I might like it.
Well, no, wait, Jody, I was just using a totally inverted example.
I know, but you know, there's some possibility there.
I understand. That would be the Iraqis getting rid of our despot, our tyrant.
Right, and you know, going back to tribal bloodlines would be how this country was before any of us showed up.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, you know, I know I'm being silly, but you know, really, it makes perfectly good sense. I mean, why would, I don't know. It's obvious to them. I heard something on NPR today that I really found interesting. The whole thing was, you know, they're just discussing how the different view of what people see on Al Jazeera compared to what we see.
Right.
And, you know, it's blood and gore. They see the real thing. I mean, maybe they, you know, run it over and over, but they're seeing what we don't see. And they're also, this Boykin thing really has them upset.
Well,
because it's not fair. I mean, who was,
right.
was the Philippine? I can't remember who it was who made anti-Semitic remarks recently, and the hue and cry in the country and the world was immediate and swift.
Yeah, the Malaysian.
Malaysian, that's
Prime
right,
Minister,
as right. it should have been. But
right.
when Boykin did this, I mean, he doesn't even get anything.
No, of course not. Of course not. And Al Jazeera or Arab News or Gulf News, they report on the situation there. Obviously, from their perspective, which makes it fair. We should not be listening to or watching NBC or CBS or CNN for news reports on what's going on in the Middle East because they are colored and changed and slanted to support either directly or indirectly, either subtly or blatantly, the U.S. position in the Middle East.
Right.
What we should be watching are Israeli reports, Palestinian reports, Arab reports, in other words, from news agencies in the Middle East. And where it concerns Iraq, the only news that Americans should be listening to is news reported by Arab news services. I believe that at the bottom of my soul.
Well, you know, I mean, I think we need to get the whole array, but it's...
If the American media were capable of presenting the truth, I would agree.
Yeah.
But it's obvious, Jody, at this point,
I know.
That they cannot and they will not.
No, I mean, there's a few who try, but it's like a small, you know, it's like screaming into the wind, which happens to be howling here at about 50 miles an hour tonight. But one more thing.
Okay, Jody, let me put you on hold and I'll come back. We got to take a quick break here.
I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't.
upon this cold.
Oh, here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Oh.
free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Yeah, sure will. Oh, God. All right, back to Jody in Arlington Heights. Jody, go ahead.
That Pence France thing, it just makes me laugh every time I can't help it.
It's just incredible. I mean, who knows what the hell he was saying? It's gibberish.
I don't know. I'm going to use it like a Christmas greeting, I'm telling you. Pence France in the coming new year for all of you and your family, you know.
Yeah, well, that'll be good.
But anyway, I think you ought to check Paul Bremer for ruler marks on his hands today.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would say that Bremer is on his way out. He's going to move on over to the Carlyle Group or Halliburton.
Right, he'll have a job somewhere. That's all I really wanted to say. I appreciate.
Well, that would explain because nobody is talking about Bremer's meeting with Bush except and stick around because coming up in a few minutes we're going to. Some of the crack White House press corps had some questions about it.
I read some of that transcript. It's already up on the White House site, and it's just absolutely amazing.
Wait till you hear
How many ways can you say the same thing 8 times, 10 times, and say nothing? It's great.
Yeah, well, stick around because I want you to try to guess the word of the day.
I didn't find the word of the day. I wasn't paying attention then.
You'll hear it.
All right, thanks,
thanks
Mike.
Jody. I appreciate your checking in very quickly because we have a break coming here. Radio talk show. This is from Houston. Right-wing conservative, years and years and years on the air down in Houston. Right-wing talk show host John Matthews was indicted today on a charge of indecency with a child. Officials told News 2 Houston that a teenager who lives in Sugarland, Texas, the same neighborhood that this thug, this right-wing talk show host, pissant, lives in, The kid went to police October 9th and explained to them what Matthews had done. The Fort Bend County District Attorney took it to a grand jury. Sealed indictment was handed up this morning. And apparently the district attorney says, "We have not alleged any contact between this man and the boy. We are talking about Matthews exposing his genitals to a child." Matthews surrendered to Sugarland police today. If convicted, he could face from 2 to 10 years in prison, $10,000 fine. He handed in his resignation at KSEV AM this morning, which was accepted. Another one of these rat bastards. Boy, they just make me sick.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A car bomb ripped through an Italian military base in the Iraqi town of Nasiriyah on Wednesday, killing at least 14 Italians and 8 Iraqis in what appeared to be a fresh suicide attack. The attack occurred as Washington attempted to speed up the process of handing over power to an Iraqi government, although U.S. officials insist this is not an exit strategy. Carabinieri military police officials in Rome said the Italian deaths were believed to be 11 military police and 3 army soldiers. Hospital officials in Nasiriya said 8 Iraqis were killed. U.S. officials, including Iraq Viceroy Paul Bremer, who was summoned from Baghdad, held a hastily convened White House meeting on Tuesday to discuss ways to accelerate the shift from U.S. to Iraqi control amid indications that the Bush administration was rethinking policy. Washington wants the U.S.-appointed Iraqi Governing Council to agree to a method for drawing up a constitution which would pave the way for democratic elections and a handover of power. The U.N. Security Council has set a December 15th deadline for the Governing Council to schedule a timetable for the political transition. A senior U.S. official said Bremer was not expected to leave his job, but other officials said there was mounting friction between Bremer and Washington over his resistance to accelerating the transfer of authorities to Iraqis. A new top-secret intelligence report warns that Iraqis are losing faith in occupation forces, a development that is increasing support for the resistance. CIA officials refuse to confirm the existence of the report, but it comes to light amid high-level meetings here on the situation on the ground in Iraq. Two other senior U.S. officials said the report paints a worrisome picture of the political and security situation there. It suggests that spiraling violence and a lack of confidence in the U.S.-appointed Iraqi Governing Council may be bringing efforts to a turning point, sending more Iraqis over to the side of insurgents fighting occupation troops. Because the report is classified, they talk about it only in general terms and only on the grounds they would not be publicly identified. The officials declined to furnish details. More news after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Tell me, old chef, for the future. Can it corey apple?
Boy, it can corey apple.
Art Carney, who played Jackie Gleason's sewer worker pal Ed Norton in the classic TV series The Honeymooners, has died at 85. Carney died in Chester, Connecticut on Sunday and was buried on Tuesday after a small private funeral. He had been ill for some time. The comic actor would be forever identified as Norton, Ralph Cramden's bowling buddy and not-too-bright upstairs neighbor on The Honeymooners. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Time for another Gooberhead Award, presented periodically to those in the news who had their tongues running 100 miles an hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's award is shared by the U.S. Ambassador to Bolivia and his higher-ups who are in charge of America's screwy drug policy. What's screwy in this case is Washington's insistence that our homegrown cocaine problem can be solved if only impoverished farmers in Bolivia and elsewhere can be forced to stop growing coca. But these farmers point out that, hello, coca is not cocaine. It's just a leaf crop that they've been growing and consuming for centuries, since before there was a U.S. of A., with the leaves themselves simply chewed by the native people as a safe and mild stimulant, like coffee is used by us Americans every day. Chemicals manufactured in the U.S. are what's used to turn this natural leaf into a horribly addictive and destructive powder. But rather than focus on the Latin and U.S. kingpins who make, distribute, finance, and profit so enormously from this processed drug, the gooberheads in charge of drug policy and Latin American diplomacy have been pounding on the poor coca farmers. They've sprayed poisons on hundreds of thousands of acres, destroying not only the coca crops, but also the livelihoods of peasant families. Then, when Evo Morales, the foremost advocate of these families in Bolivia, ran for president, our diplomats imperiously tried to have him expelled from the Bolivian Congress and declared that his election would be considered, quote, a hostile act against the U.S. by the Bolivian people. Unsurprisingly, this further fueled the people's explosive anger at our government. Yet David Greenlee, the U.S. ambassador there, blithely declared that, we think on balance that our policies have been positive things for Bolivia. We don't think it is a problem. This is Tim Hightower saying, hey, Mr. Gooberhead, I don't think you have a clue.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God, help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. Red 800 talk, yes. There are several more items we want to get to here, but let us go to the phones for a moment. Dawn is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Dawn.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're back.
Me too.
I'm so glad you're in the groove, saying all the things I feel and making me pound the table and go, yes,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Right.
Listen, last night, I think it was last night, you were talking about a couple of movies that were kind of 1984 and Enemy of the State. And there was one that I just had to call and tell you about.
Yes, I think the other one was Starship. What was it, Kathy?
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers and Enemy of the State, right?
Yeah, that Robert Heinlein, which is nothing like the book, which surprised me. Anyway, there was one that was made. It was in the early to mid '60s, and it's called The Balcony. Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it. It's a foreign movie, isn't it?
Actually,
it's an American movie.
I think it is. It might have been made in England. I don't know, but it had American stars: Peter Falk, Cicely Tyson, Shelley Winters, and Leonard Nimoy are in it.
Then, no, I haven't heard of that one. It's called The Balcony?
The Balcony. And what it is, basically, it takes place in a whorehouse where these guys come in. One comes in, they role play. That one wants to be the Pope, one wants to be the Prime Minister, and there's another role.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Peter Falk character swoops in, and he takes these three guys, because there's chaos outside or you know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. And so he basically puts these three, you know, schmoes who are like mailmen and whatever into these roles, and the public doesn't know the difference.
Huh.
And he's strutting around in this military uniform, and he's speaking in this declarative, nonsensical, very Hitlerian sort of a voice.
This sounds like Bush.
Exactly.
Sounds like George in his flight suit, an Air National Guard deserter walking around in a flight suit.
All pretend. You got to try. It's there's a video store out here in Portland that's it's hard to find video. So I don't know if you've got anything like that where you're at.
We do. We have several that are non-chain video stores that do have that sort of thing. It's called The Balcony.
It'll blow your mind.
I just wrote it down.
Very, very nice.
All right. Thank you, Dawn.
Love and hugs.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate you checking in. The Balcony. Chris is calling from Cincinnati. Chris, welcome to the program. Your first time calling?
Mike, I've been following you from way back.
Oh, okay.
I think I called you in Chicago last time.
Oh, okay. First time on this network.
Yeah.
Well, welcome aboard.
You know, your website was hard to get to tonight.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Hard to log on or hard to hear the program?
It wasn't coming up. I don't know what's going on.
Huh.
But that's usually the way I get onto your show, but I just had to go around a different way.
Yeah, you can get there, radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com. There are a couple of ways to get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, have I mentioned how much I hate these people yet?
Not yet tonight, but yeah. There you go.
About time. Well, you know, just in case I forgot, but, you know, it's like every day I get up and I read the paper, I see the news, another couple guys are dead. And,
right.
You know, it's like I feel good, and oh, I just want to, ooh. I just hate that feeling, you know. I don't want to feel good. These are our kids, man. You know. They're
well,
dead.
Is it not? I don't mean to try to correct or interpret your emotions, but wouldn't it be a more appropriate, really, truly, to say that you feel justified in your opposition to what these thugs are doing? And like you say, it's horrifying, terrifying, terribly sad that we're losing American soldiers.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I mean, you know, look, I'm 47. You're a little older than me.
I am indeed.
But I mean, we went through. I mean, I saw my family go through this. I almost had to go. You know, I've seen what the Vietnam did. And every time I see one of these clowns come on and say, "Oh, this is nothing like Vietnam," mm-hmm. Jeez, come on, man. I mean, talk to anybody that was over there. You know, I mean, it.
Well, it may not have
don't
been.
Don't speak the language and. The bad guys were in with the rest of them.
It may not be like Vietnam. It may not be in Iraq now what Vietnam was as things spiraled out of control. But the mindset that took us into Iraq is not all that different from the mindset that took us into Vietnam. In both instances, we were lied to, of course, much more egregiously to take us into Iraq than into Vietnam. The goals are different. Vietnam was a Cold War battlefield, whereas Iraq is the Bush crime family's determination to take the natural resources of that country. But I think there are enough similarities to people who understand the political as well as the military realities of Vietnam and Iraq. There are enough similarities that it is not difficult to say we are going to have our ass handed to us. We are going to be driven out of that country. We are going to take God knows how many casualties, how many dead Americans, and there will be multiples of that number in dead Iraqis. And it's just disgusting.
Yeah, and you know, it just feels like so ashamed of my generation. I mean, it's just like didn't we get it, you know?
I know.
Come on, you know, here we go again.
I know.
And these kids, like you said, they're 18 and 19. I've got kids that old, and mm-hmm. I mean, I just can't wait. Give these people another 4 years, and you'll see the draft, because I'm telling you, they're going to need bodies over there, you know, because what you got over now is cannon fodder.
That's
and
right.
That's what you're gonna, man. It's just sad. Did I tell you how much I hate these people?
I think you have. Thank you, Chris.
See you, Mike.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad you're back.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was very appropriate Memorial Day mm-hmm. that you had on your show last night.
Uh huh.
You know, the letters and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I thought that was very appropriate, and, you know, it was really touching. And it's like you say, you know, and I know,
mm-hmm.
that this it's only going to get one similarity, this Vietnam, is there going to be more people killed.
That's right.
And we're going to get our ass handed to us.
That's right.
And I read an article and Bud Flash. And so I said, boy, are they the people that support the troops now? You know, the ones that are called us on the left here that we were down out of patriotic, you know,
right.
we didn't support the troops and all that.
Right.
And where are they, you know? Where are these people?
Mm.
Why should we have to have a draft? They're talking about a draft. These people ought to go sign up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they support this, and Bush wants to liken it to World War II.
Right.
So, hell, go sign up, man.
Yeah,
if they believe that, if they believe we're doing this, well, go do it, man. I mean...
Well, here's a question for you, Joe. Why is it not the case that every Sunday morning in all these evangelical right-wing Christian churches across the country, why is the preacher not standing up there telling the young men in the congregation to get down to the recruiter first thing Monday morning and go fight on the side of the Lord? Why is that not happening?
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't understand that.
Except maybe because Republicans and right-wingers and neo-fascists are nothing but spineless cowards. And don't believe in the killing and the slaughter that they want everybody else to go participate in. Maybe they're afraid to meet their Jesus. Maybe they're afraid to go die someplace and then have to look at the face of God, whose face will be in a sneer while he pinches their heads off and kicks them into hell, where demons will play soccer ball with their heads. Or something.
Well, the reason I called was...
I didn't mean to get y'all distracted.
I had to say something about that. I just couldn't keep from it.
All right.
But anyway, I was watching the Senate tonight. When I started their debate on this ridiculous, childish deal.
Yeah.
And our junior senator...
Are they running it live on C-SPAN?
Yes, on C-SPAN.
Okay.
I've got the volume turned down.
So anybody who wants to see this nonsense can go to C-SPAN right now.
Yeah, it's on right now. Probably on all night.
Oh, I'm sure.
But our junior senator from Texas was on earlier for the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving a talk telling what a great nominee Priscilla Owens was. Well, I read in Molly Allen's book, Bushwhack, that he took her on in Texas when he was Attorney General here.
You talking about John Cronin?
John Cornyn.
Cornyn?
Cornyn.
Well, let's call him John.
All right. I don't pronounce
I don't know what it is either.
Well, anyway.
But John did.
He was telling her what, but he took her on in Texas, said she was out of the mainstream.
Right.
I can't remember exactly what the case was.
Right.
One of them was the Freedom of Information Act, and the other one was, I can't remember the case. Somebody might correct you on that, but I mean, correct me on it. I'm not sure, but I do know that there were quite a few here in Texas that thought that she was out of the mainstream.
Yeah.
But then him sitting up there in the Senate saying, what a great nominee she is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, everything that comes out of a Republican's mouth now is a lie. All of it constitutes nothing but lies, Joe. You know it, and I know it, and we're going to keep talking about it and pointing out to folks that everything that comes out of a Republican's mouth, I don't care who the Republican is a lie. It's a damned lie. That's all it is. Joe, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, man.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Another one of those stories about the military that just makes you realize the degree to which the Bush administration and the Rumsfeld Defense Department hold in contempt American boys and girls, young men and young women, in some cases middle-aged men and women, who are called up to active duty, National Guard and reservists. This is from NBC News, Lisa Myers. The story is that soldiers with the National Guard who, you know, let's face it, they're already under fire. They're under the gun in Iraq and Afghanistan. But there's a new government report out now that claims that while the troops are fighting, red tape from the Bush crime family and the Rumsfeld Defense Department is preventing many of them from being paid. Oh, it gets worse than that. Stick around.
smithereens.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle, and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a
expense account.
Eh, what's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. A couple of quick... wait a minute. Where was I? I'm sorry. Jeez. And I'm not even taking the Vicodin anymore. The National Guard members being denied their pay. Story after story after story here. Apparently there was there's a government report out now. You know, National Guard soldiers are being asked to do what National Guard soldiers shouldn't be asked to do unless this country is under attack, and that is to go to a combat zone. And you know that as well as I do. They're risking their lives around the world for the Bush crime family. Now, the Pentagon is not living up to its obligation to pay them the right amount or to pay them on time. That's according to NBC's Lisa Myers, NBC News, which finds the Pentagon's pay process is such a mess, it's having what is reported to be, quote, a profound financial impact on individual soldiers and their families, end quote. Christopher Shays, Republican from Connecticut. Okay, so he should be a Democrat, but he's still a Republican. He said, this is well beyond anything I could ever imagine. I would like to think if we send people off to war that we're not going to have them worry about whether the home is going to be taken because they can't pay their mortgage. Well, Mr. Shays, with all due respect, sir, you're a Republican. Why don't you do something about it, you know? Why don't you get our people out of there? One sergeant who wanted his identity concealed told NBC that when his unit was in Afghanistan chasing Al-Qaeda, every single soldier in his unit had pay problems, mostly late or missing checks. The sergeant said it was very frustrating. It distracted you from the job at hand. You have to worry about whether your family has enough food on the table. Yeah. And according to the GAO, the General Accounting Office, in six guard units examined, a stunning 94% of soldiers had pay problems, including underpayments, three-month delays in active duty checks, pay and benefits cut off for wounded soldiers in the hospital. 94% of the soldiers in these six guard units had these problems. Christopher Shea says they were being told they weren't entitled to certain health care benefits in spite of their injuries. I mean, there's no one in the military who justifies that, but it's shocking that it could happen, Mr. Shea says. And then there's this. Pay problems were so bad that a sergeant in Uzbekistan, yeah, that's right, Uzbekistan, whose leader handles, he's an old-line communist from the Soviet Union days, and the way this leader, this dictator in Uzbekistan handles dissent, he boils people alive. Now, we've been talking about this several times over the past 6 months, but we have military bases there now, you see, because that's where the Caspian Sea area pipeline is going to go through. It's also where these vast supplies of natural gas are located. So this filthy, cannibalistic, bastard son of a bitch, you'll pardon my language, but I hate this, right? Right? But we're supporting him. I digress. Pay problems are so bad that a sergeant in Uzbekistan put his life on the line to straighten the problems out for the men in his unit. He was forced to fly to Oman, then to an army finance office in Kuwait, then back to Oman, and then his aircraft was fired on by the enemy over Afghanistan on his return flight to Uzbekistan. Congressman Shea says, when there are screw-ups in the military, knew there were screw-ups, they still had a hard time resolving them, still gave grief to our men and women who were in active duty, still gave grief to the families back home. In one Colorado unit, according to the report, soldiers had their checks docked to pay off $48,000 each in debt they did not owe. A sergeant at the Colorado Air National Guard said, Our people were mad. They still are, and justifiably so. Tonight, the Pentagon said that it's aware of the problem. JB, thanks for sending me that story.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A group of marine scientists writes up a new definition of normal to help protect coral reefs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Coral reefs are some of the most diverse of all marine ecosystems, but the picture of what's diverse today pales in comparison to what the reefs were like 1,000 years ago. Marine scientists say the description of what was once normal for coral reefs shows how badly they need protection today. A dozen scientists studied the history of coral reefs around the world. They documented a steady decline in their health that began hundreds of years ago. They say coral reef ecosystems will not survive for more than a few decades unless they're protected thoroughly and immediately. One of the scientists is Deborah McArdle. She's a marine advisor with the California Sea Grant Program. McArdle studied reefs in the Caribbean Sea near the Virgin Islands. She uncovered details about their diversity as they existed several thousand years ago.
There used to be many, many large turtles. There used to be many large fish. There used to be many large lobster and abundant lobster. I think once people start to realize there were so many animals, then we can start to set targets for what we want the ocean to look like, which are appropriate in order to restore them.
McArdle says many reefs have been destroyed by overexploitation of large fish at the top of the food chain. That starts a series of events that produces huge amounts of algae, and the algae smother the coral. McArdle believes proper fishery management could restore the health of coral reefs as long as it addresses the enormous impact people have made on them already. The study by McArdle and her colleagues was published last summer in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Once again, and I do this frequently, I do apologize for the string of profanity that, although it's nothing that folks have not heard before, I don't use the F word, I don't use certain words, but I understand that it is irritating. No, nobody emailed in, nobody called, but I just, you know, every time I do that, Kathy looks at me and rolls her eyes like, you know, you better put a sock in it. But some of these stories are so infuriating, especially ones that consider or that concern the mistreatment of soldiers. Now, I can just as easily make a case and say, what the hell do we have soldiers in Uzbekistan for? It is no threat to us. There is nothing. Uzbekistan borders, I think, China. The only reason our soldiers are there is to shore up one of the most ruthless former communist dictators in the Soviet Union. I can't think of the pig's name right now. But and so the question can be, and I could do a whole show on it. What the hell are we? Why is our National Guard in Uzbekistan? They are there to protect the interests of transnational U.S.-based oil companies and natural gas companies and Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root. But I choose not to make that argument. The argument I do choose to make is these are Americans, young men, young women, some of them not so young, who are serving in National Guard or reserve units, not because they're trying to duck out of a war like George, by God, Bush, but because they need the extra income, and because a lot of them feel a sense of dedication to their country. I'll join a National Guard unit, so if hell breaks out, I can be of assistance here. If they need me because of a fire or an earthquake or tornadoes or hurricanes, I can be of assistance here. Plus, I like the traditions and the honor of the U.S. military. So what happens? They get sent to places like Uzbekistan to support a dictator who would make Saddam Hussein look like Winston Churchill. And who sends our soldiers to Uzbekistan? The very unconscionable thugs who are blowing Iraqis to pieces and putting our soldiers in harm's way in Iraq. I hate them. I just, have I said yet tonight how much I despise these people? So I apologize for the string of profanity. I should know better. I've been in radio business almost 20 years. I shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do that. Email here from Thomas. Mike, I just heard you mention how to get the real story in Iraq. One should listen to Al Jazeera and other news sources that are in that part of the world and have their own viewpoint. I couldn't agree more. I remember before the world was available on the Internet, listening to the BBC on shortwave. Rule number one was you could always trust BBC News, unless they were talking about Northern Ireland. Good point. As to the Bremer recall, I'm afraid it may actually signal a no more Mr. Nice Guy approach in Iraq. Let's face it, the real Americans don't want to see their troops picked off one at a time. You want a popular war? Bring back shock and awe. And I fear that that is where this thing is headed. TC. Thanks, Thomas. That's interesting. I hadn't thought that aspect, that angle. From Ryan, copy editor and page designer with a newspaper. Hi, Mike. Just heard you on the show about the talk show host John Matthews in Houston. Isn't it amazing that so many of these pontificating right-wing rat bastards who imply homosexuals are a lot of sexually deviant pedophiles as a means of keeping gays from adopting kids are themselves child molesters? This is what, the third or fourth one of these scumbags to be caught with kids in the past couple of months? What is wrong with these sick people? From Ryan. Yeah. Sure. This always happens. This always happens. When was the last, let me ask you something, truth seeker. When was the last time you heard of a liberal or progressive or left-wing media person, somebody employed by media? I don't care if it's a beat reporter, a local newspaper, a talk show host, a television person. I'm sure there must have been one or two or somewhere. When was the last time you heard of a liberal being accused of this kind of child sexual exploitation? When was the last time you heard of a liberal media person having to go into detox for the third time because he's an addict and eats OxyContin and has people out on the street sucking them in for him? When? Kathy, can you think of somebody? I can't either. Why? Because most of us liberals are married, we are stable, we are in good relationships, we work our ass off. And we're poor. Forgot that part. Did you just say that in my headphones or did you open your mic? Well, you got to open your mic because I don't know if people are hearing you or not.
We're poor.
Thank you. All right. Rich is calling from Corona, California. Hey, Rich, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, but it's not my first time listening to
well,
you.
Well, welcome aboard anyway.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey, actually, I'm not from Corona. I live in the bowels of hell. I live in Orange County.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting place for an independent to live.
Mm-hmm.
We have a newspaper here called the Orange County Register.
Oh, yeah, very familiar with it.
Yeah, I refer to it as the right-wing rag.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting. I've been reading the opinions pages. I actually called for a completely different reason, but after listening on hold, it kind of changed subjects. But I've been reading the opinion pages, and actually this Register newspaper has been taking a get out of Iraq stance lately, which has been rather interesting to see. The Republicans, they're known for feeding on themselves, and they're starting to do it now in this whole...
I think part of the reason for that, if I may, is because there are two branches of the Republican Party. There is what I call the James Baker Halliburton branch,
right?
And then there is the American Zionist branch, which includes people like Cheney, like or not Cheney, but Wolfowitz and Pearl, even though Pearl's not in the government. There's a whole clutch of them, and of course George Bush is so stupid he doesn't care which faction is operating. But the Orange County Register, first of all, as you know, Orange County got rid of V1 Bob and has an Hispanic woman now who represents Orange County. I don't know if she represents the entire district, but she represents a good part of it.
Yeah, Laura Sanchez.
Right. Orange County is becoming a majority non-right-wing white. And as so many of these congressional districts in California make that change from white domination with blacks being kind of the leading so-called minority, and that is replaced by Latinos being the leading so-called minority, I think they're going to see more and more of this. And I think maybe the Orange County Register is starting to reflect or starting to face the reality that if their editorial page, at least, doesn't start to adopt a less right-wing stance, they're going to lose readers. If you lose readers, you lose advertising. If you lose advertising, you're out of business.
Exactly. Well, one of the weird things about the Register is it is clearly right-wing. But it's op-ed pages, and it's funny to watch them battle amongst each other, because the editor is always, he stands in more of a an independent, more of a libertarian.
Right.
So when you read the statements made by the editor, he's always talking about, you know, more liberal statements. However, when you look at the front page,
right,
the picture is it's always, you know, the shot of Bush from down below making him look like a god and, and all that stuff. And it's like, and then, you know, we've made great advances. And it's just always that there's a positive twist. I mean, they could basically put a positive twist on, you know, a hurricane.
Sure.
If they want to make it sound like what he's doing is the right thing. But I actually have to go here, so I have to cut a little short. But and I really wanted to talk to you about some things. But
well, there's always tomorrow night.
That's true. And I'm at work right now, so that's why I gotta leave.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's all right. I'm the boss, at least in my department.
Well, that's even more okay.
But I just wanted to give you a thought. You know, there's one of those questions that they ask you in psychology. You know, visualization things, like
right.
You know, when you what comes to mind when you think of something. And I just wanted to say, you know, what comes to mind when I think of George Bush is I think of tar and feathers.
Well, that's kind of mild, but I'll accept that. I'll accept.
Well, I mean, the good old fashioned days. You know, most politicians need to grasp that. But
yeah.
That's the way we used to deal with
public humiliation.
Exactly.
Public humiliation. I think it is appropriate. I think it is. Rich, thanks for checking. I hope you call again.
I definitely will. Thank
you. All right,
sir.
You have a nice evening. Do you want to do some of Simple Scotty McClellan here? I don't know if we have enough time this segment. All right, we'll probably wait on that. Mark is calling from Detroit. Mark, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, welcome
How
aboard,
you doing?
Sir. I'm doing fine.
Thanks. You were talking a few minutes ago about Iraq and the situation there and the idea of, you know, the CIA report saying if we try to clamp down, it's just going to increase the people joining against us. And what came to my mind was that my observation is this evil cabal that rules this country wants exactly that. They want a permanent garrison in the Middle East, and they maneuvered this whole thing. It took them 20 years to do it.
Right.
And 50 years is not too long for us to have to stay there. To them, longer would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they, you know, if they end up with a hideous little nasty guerrilla war that we have to fight, and it's another Vietnam. It's going to be a Vietnam that we don't get out of anytime soon.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and in a twisted sort of way, the twisted way being what these people, this evil cabal, uses for logic. Yeah, they probably see that as acceptable. The Bush crime family doesn't care how many people die, whether the people are Americans or Iraqis or Turks or Kurds. They don't give a damn.
Exactly right.
It's very expendable. It's just another resource that is used up. Time to put in more resources. So you may just be right that a permanent.
What do you think of the idea that I was trying to think? Is Bush the Antichrist? I thought no. He's more like the Antichrist. Pool boys, toady.
that would be a good description.
I really enjoy your show. I'm so glad to have found it. It's so nice to hear people out on the airwaves that have views like mine.
Well, thanks, Mark. And I know you're listening to WSDS. Tell your friends in Ann Arbor to tune in, will you?
I sure will.
Thank you, sir.
I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. The Antichrist's pool boy's toady. I like that. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Lynn is calling from Buffalo, New York. Hey, Lynn.
Hey, you woke me up, Mike.
I woke you up?
No, I'm just kidding you. I thought that it would be important to mention that Ari Fleischer was here, and he was beating down his former boss in administration. He was thrashing him. Yes, he did.
Huh. He was in Buffalo, and
he
was kicking whose ass? George Bush's?
And the whole administration.
No, come on now.
Yes, he was. I'm to God. It's been all, everybody's been talking about it.
When was this? Today?
Well, within the week.
Well, I haven't seen anything.
You never hear anything about what. Nobody ever hears about what's going on here.
But if it's reported in the Buffalo newspaper, somebody would. It would be at Buzzflash or Common Dreams or someplace, wouldn't it?
No, actually, you know, our Channel 4 is like very independent news. I think most of them are.
Yeah.
And every night, I should mention that we do see everything from Al Jazeera, Abu Dhabi. That's all they use in Al Arabiya.
Right.
Every night on their news.
Wow.
And we also find it very interesting, and this is the kicker, Val, that Cheney's supposed to be coming here next on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming to a place, mind you, that there has been several presidents assassinated here, and he's coming right to the spot where they had a monument where the guy got assassinated.
Oh, my God.
And he's coming to a freaking restaurant there, and there's no Republicans around here. And it's like, why on earth is he coming there? And the police don't care. They're not going to do anything for him. Nothing. They're not going to watch nobody. And it's going to be, people are just going to be like rampaging all over. And we are like, why on earth?
In Buffalo?
We've never had any GOPs come here. Never any presidents, never, nothing, ever.
Well, Cheney, the only reason he'd be coming there is because there must be somebody in Buffalo who's going to hand him large checks.
There's a one pharmaceutical company here. That's all we can think of because there's nobody else that would dare pitch in a cent. I mean, don't forget.
Well, they'll get him in and out without anybody in Buffalo knowing about it. I'm sure it's.
You know, Channel 4 is promising that they're going to announce detail for detail where they're going. And they're the ones that show that Al Jazeera, Arabia, Abu Dhabi every day.
Do you remember what Ari Fleischer said?
No, I can get you all that information, but I wasn't sure I wasn't telling you something that you didn't know.
I hadn't heard a thing about it. If you can get a link, a URL, and just email it to me, I would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. I was wondering if it wasn't something from Canisius College around there, because that's an independent college, and they have all kinds of left-wing progressive type stuff going on there.
Well, if you choose to accept it, Lynn, that's your assignment. Find that for me and send it to us, because I would love to see something like that where Ari Fleischer is criticizing the Bush crime family.
Oh, he definitely is.
All right.
Everybody's just like, yeah, you go, you know.
I also thought
there was a GOP here that got caught cheating on votes in Lackawanna. It's about 15 maybe miles from here, and they stripped him of his little ass title today.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And
now he'll probably go out and molest children.
And there's this, I also thought that you should know, in case you didn't know that one, that everyone, it's like common knowledge that that Lackawanna 6, Buffalo 6 was a sham.
Oh, yeah?
It's like common knowledge. Everybody knows it. Everybody's like, yeah, right.
Oh, the people from from the Middle East. I'm drawing a blank on the country.
They weren't from the Middle East. They were from Buffalo. They were from Lackawanna.
From Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
1 mile out of Buffalo.
Lynn, there's the music. We got a break. See if you can find that for me and email it, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks so much. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening.
When they took my only son from me, I know it's true. Oh, so true. 'Cause I saw it.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylan's.
Ah, soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Coming back after the break, we will entertain you with Scotty McClellan, George Bush's butt boy, or commonly known as the press secretary, who will be our little contest is see if you can figure out the word of the day. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin, long time no hear. Welcome welcome aboard.
Well, thank you, Mike. Got loose from the living hell of telemarketing a little early this evening because of the weather.
I understand.
I don't want to take too much time, but, oh, God, I sound like a telemarketer already.
Yes, you do, Doc.
No, I am glad to see your back and your jaw pain hadn't turned you into a junkie.
Not yet. I'm kind of hoping that, well, no. Not
well, obviously, we got to get you a raise so you can afford a housekeeper to blame for your Jones.
There you go.
I heard you say in referring to the people getting called up, some not so young.
Right.
And it just occurred to me, we were sitting at a little peace group meeting last Sunday night, and someone was telling us, apparently a chief deputy of the county here in West Virginia, you know, when you're the chief deputy, you sit on your rear end and tell
right.
people to shut up a lot.
Yes, you do.
He's 61 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone.
He's what? He's called up to active duty?
He's gone.
61?
Yeah.
Jesus, in World War II, the cutoff was 45.
Apparently, this guy wasn't sharp enough to get out or was finishing his 20 years or whatever. And I don't guess they're shipping him to Iraq, but they've shipped him somewhere else to pick up the slack.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that obscene?
A 61-year-old man.
Yeah. But I tell you, there is some hope, Mike. I attended statewide Democratic dinner, you know, the JJ dinner,
uh-huh.
Jefferson Jackson, and Jay Rockefeller showed up, and bless his heart, apparently some of the pink tutus are coming off.
Yeah?
He played the skin off of George Bush's rear end. Just absolutely wore him out and told a story, and you will appreciate the hubris of this. It had to do with prescription drugs.
Okay.
And Rockefeller was sitting there in the cabinet in the cabinet room with a whole bunch of other senators and congressmen, the conference committee with the White House.
Wait a second. Can you hold on?
Yeah, sure.
Because we've got a break coming here, and just about the time you're getting the good part of the story, I'm going to have to say, Robin, we have to break. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back and pick up on the Rockefeller prescription drug story.
Okay.
And wait for what I hope is a great punchline.
Oh, it is.
All right. Stick around. Hold on, Robin. We'll come back right after the break. And if you're on hold, stay. Want to hear what you got to say. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. U.S. officials, including Iraq Viceroy Paul Bremer, who was summoned from Baghdad, held a hastily convened White House meeting on Tuesday to discuss ways to accelerate the shift from U.S. to Iraqi control amid indications that the Bush administration was rethinking policy. Washington wants the U.S.-appointed Iraqi Governing Council to agree to a method for drawing up a constitution which would pave the way for democratic elections and a handover of power. The UN Security Council has set a December 15th deadline for the Governing Council to schedule a timetable for the political transition. A senior U.S. official said Bremer was not expected to leave his job, but other officials said there was mounting friction between Bremer and Washington over his resistance to accelerating the transfer of authorities to Iraqis. A car bomb ripped through an Italian military base in the Iraqi town of Nasiriya on Wednesday, killing at least 14 Italians and 8 Iraqis in what appeared to be a fresh suicide attack. The attack occurred as Washington attempted to speed up the process of handing over power to an Iraqi government, although U.S. officials insist this is not an exit strategy. Carabinieri military police officials in Rome said the Italian deaths were believed to be 11 military police and 3 army soldiers. Hospital officials in Nasiriya said 8 Iraqis were killed. A new top-secret intelligence report warns that Iraqis are losing faith in occupation forces, a development that is increasing support for the resistance. CIA officials refuse to confirm the existence of the report, but it comes to light amid high-level meetings here on the situation on the ground in Iraq. 2 other senior U.S. officials said the report paints a worrisome picture of the political and security situation there. It suggests that spiraling violence and a lack of confidence in the U.S.-appointed Iraqi Governing Council may be bringing efforts to a turning point, sending more Iraqis over to the side of insurgents fighting occupation troops. Because the report is classified, they talk about it only in general terms and only on the grounds they would not be publicly identified. The officials declined to furnish details.
More news after this.
Like most people, you've probably got a calendar or a day planner to help you keep track of important dates. But there are some things in life that we can't put on our calendars because we don't know when or if they'll happen. Things like emergencies, disasters, or even a fire. So prepare for the unexpected today by establishing a family disaster plan with help from your local Red Cross. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Help prepare your community by visiting redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Tell me, old chef, for the future. Can it carry apples?
Oh, it can carry apples.
Art Carney, who played Jackie Gleason's sewer worker pal Ed Norton in the classic TV series The Honeymooners, has died at 85. Carney died in Chester, Connecticut on Sunday and was buried on Tuesday after a small private funeral. He had been ill for some time. The comic actor would be forever identified as Norton, Ralph Cramden's bowling buddy and not-too-bright upstairs neighbor on The Honeymooners.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Time for another Gooberhead Award. Presented periodically to those in the news who had their tongues running 100 miles an hour but forgot to put their brains in gear. Today's award is shared by the U.S. Ambassador to Bolivia and his higher-ups who are in charge of America's screwy drug policy. What's screwy in this case is Washington's insistence that our homegrown cocaine problem can be solved if only impoverished farmers in Bolivia and elsewhere can be forced to stop growing coca. But these farmers point out that, hello, coca is not cocaine. It's just a leaf crop that they've been growing and consuming for centuries, since before there was a U.S. of A., with the leaves themselves simply chewed by the native people as a safe and mild stimulant, like coffee is used by us Americans every day. Chemicals manufactured in the U.S. are what's used to turn this natural leaf into a horribly addictive and destructive powder. But rather than focus on the Latin and U.S. kingpins who make, distribute, finance, and profit so enormously from this processed drug, the gooberheads in charge of drug policy and Latin American diplomacy have been pounding on the poor coca farmers. They sprayed poisons on hundreds of thousands of acres, destroying not only the coca crops, but also the livelihoods of peasant families. Then, when Evo Morales, the foremost advocate of these families in Bolivia, ran for president, our diplomats imperiously tried to have him expelled from the Bolivian Congress and declared that his election would be considered, quote, a hostile act against the U.S. by the Bolivian people. Unsurprisingly, this further fueled the people's explosive anger at our government. Yet David Greenlee, the U.S. ambassador there, blithely declared that, we think on balance that our policies have been positive things for Bolivia. We don't think it is a problem. This is Tim Hightower saying, hey, Mr. Gooberhead, I don't think you have a clue.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We are talking with Robin in Victor, West Virginia. Now, you're going to tell us about the Rockefeller, Senator Rockefeller's story, prescription drug story?
Indeed, indeed.
All right. Let her rip.
And it's not exactly the prescription drugs aspect that's the best part of it. But, you know, first of all, we've got to understand that, you know, we're talking about the Rockefellers here.
Sure.
And they make the Bushes look like the low-rent white trash down the street in a trailer.
That's true.
So they're having this prescription drug discussion, and Jay quotes a speech from last June in which Bush says he's for a prescription drug benefit for everybody, mm-hmm. across the board.
Right.
And after the meeting's over, Bush comes up to Jay, and you got to understand, Jay's about 6'20". Guy's tall.
I know he is. He if he ever quits the Senate, he could probably get into pro ball, basketball. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, he said, you know, Bush tried to get in my face, and you know the coarser and more rambunctious listeners of the program can imagine where he probably wound up.
Yeah. You can. Did Rockefeller's audience appreciate that?
Well, we laughed like crazy.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he got up in there and he said, don't ever try to put words in my mouth again. And he stomped off.
Uh-huh.
So Jay goes back to the office and writes a letter to George and sent him a copy of the speech that W had given and said to him in the letter, here's the speech where you said what you said but said you didn't.
Right.
George writes back and says, well, I'm sorry if I offended you, as a Bush should say to a Rockefeller.
Sure.
But at the dinner, you know, Rockefeller remarked at the end of it all, I don't care if that man offends me. I care if he knows the difference between the truth and a lie.
Yeah, really.
And he doesn't.
No, no.
You know, so, you know, apparently the gloves are coming off, Mike.
Well, I hope. I hope that's the case. If it is not the case, then the Democratic Party will have failed not just its stated goal to be the party of opposition now, but also failed the American public. I hope the gloves are coming off. I do.
Well, it does appear that they are because, you know, Rockefeller's the soul of niceness.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd just gotten over being taken down the road by Bush over this memo, you know, that came out of the Senate Intelligence Committee
right.
from one of his staffers.
Right.
And, you know, if you read the daggum memo, Mike, all it says is, you know, we need to stand up and start being the conscience of the country.
Oh, no, no, no. That was a memo where the Senate Intelligence Committee is being used to undermine the authority of the president, undermine our troops in Iraq, destroy American democracy, rape all the women, and molest the children. Please.
And criticize their fueler.
Yes, please, Robin. That's what that memo was about.
Well, you know, somebody needs to get some mattress pads for Sean Hannity because he absolutely wet himself over it.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Sean Hannity is just, you know, there's a part of me that wants to go to hell so that I can watch Satan pinch Sean Hannity's head
little
off.
Little bitty pieces.
And kick it into the squirming throngs of demons who will then use it as a soccer ball.
Yeah, there's an old joke whose punchline ends, you know, coffee breaks over back on your head. And that's what we want for Sean.
It is indeed. Thanks, Robin.
Such a pleasure to talk to you, Mike.
My pleasure indeed, sir.
Bye now.
You have a nice evening. He tried to look me. What did he say? He tried to look me in the eye. Yeah. A couple of emails here. Jim emails in regarding the question I had about is there any media, liberal media person, I don't care if it's a talk show host, a disc jockey, the television reporter, any liberal or progressive, whatever you want to call them, who has recently or ever been accused of molesting children or, you know, some of the stuff that these perverted right-wingers, the references to this 20-some-year right-wing talk show host in Houston, Texas, who has now been indicted for, according to the indictment, revealing his genitalia to a child. Oh, my God. So I said, anybody know of any liberals ever do this? And Jim emails in, Pee-wee Herman? No, Pee-wee Herman did not flash his genitals to children. He was, if I remember the story from several years back, he was in a porn theater, masturbating. Can you imagine the people who discovered that? Oh, my God, you're Pee Wee. Oh, no. Oh, well. This is from Army Times. JB just sent this in. This is from Army Times. U.S. troops opened fire on a truck carrying live chickens near the tense town of Fallujah today, killing five civilians aboard the vehicle, including a father and his two sons, relatives said Wednesday. The shooting took place at a roadblock Tuesday night. Fallujah is the site of numerous anti-American attacks, and U.S. soldiers in the area have been on a high state of alert. Open fire on a truck carrying... A spokesman for the family, whose two nephews were killed on the truck, said, quote, they went to bring chickens, and they came back at 9 or 10 at night, and we were waiting for them. The Americans fired on them. Also on Wednesday, according to Army Times, reporters saw U.S. troops delivering one body from an Army ambulance to waiting families. In the morgue, reporters saw several bodies with what appeared to be gunshot wounds. A spokesman for the U.S. military in Baghdad had no immediate information on the attack. This weekend, U.S. jets dropped three 500-pound bombs near Fallujah after three U.S. paratroopers were wounded in an ambush. All right, now, this is an Associated Press story, but the link to it is Army Times. U.S. troops opened fire on a truck carrying live chickens and killed five civilians, including a father and his two sons. Jesus Christ, how much more of this? How much more of this, huh? How much more of the killing of these innocent Iraqis and the killing of our soldiers? How much more of this? How much more of this, huh? One more here. This is from the Florida Times Union. Where is that? That's a Jacksonville paper, right? Yeah.
It's from Tallahassee from yesterday. Nick sent this in to me. This is what makes me want to do something really violent. I mean, it really does. If you listen to this program a lot, you know I've got a very short fuse. I'm not trying to come across as macho. Never do. I'm probably going to kill myself from all this rage and anger. If that's what happens, that's what happens. But a story like this I've already read the story and gotten all pissed off and angry, so I'm not going to get pissed off and angry, but here it is. A group of 30 military veterans, this is from Tallahassee, a group of 30 military veterans critical of the war in Iraq hoped to use Tuesday's Veterans Day parade to call attention to the increasingly deadly conflict in that country, but instead found themselves fighting for something much more fundamental. Members of Veterans for Peace and Vietnam Veterans Against the War were yanked off a downtown Tallahassee street directly in front of the old Capitol while marching in the Veterans Day holiday parade that they had legitimately registered in. I'm just going to read it to you. As organizers allowed the parade to roll on, including veterans from various wars, several high school marching bands, and even a group of young women from the local Hooters restaurant, the anti-war veterans were ordered onto sidewalks where they passed out leaflets and displayed a banner reading, "Honor the Warrior, Not the War." Tom Baxter, an Army Equipment Maintenance Officer in Vietnam for 16 months in 1967 through 1969, said, "There's a war going on that's based on lies, just like Vietnam. They were lying then, they're lying now." Parade Chairman Ken Conroy said he ejected the anti-war veterans because they were offensive. And because Tallahassee police also wanted them removed. He offered to refund their $10 registration fee and said he was not suppressing the group's free speech rights. Mr. Conroy said they can have their free speech, just not in this parade. The six-block-long parade circling downtown Tallahassee was sponsored by the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Post 3308. You might want to note that. Veterans of VFW, Post 3308 in Tallahassee. Baxter, the anti-war veteran, said about 12 of the 30 anti-war members at the parade were walking in line when they were kicked out about 20 minutes into the hour-long event. He said the parade applications were filled out fully and correctly, but must have gone unnoticed by organizers. "They said we were offensive," Baxter said, "but we heard no boos or anything." Tallahassee police spokesman denied police played any role in the situation and said yesterday that was the first time he could recall anyone being excluded from a parade. Parade spectators were surprised to hear the anti-war veterans were ejected. Latoya Jackson, a junior ROTC member from a local high school, said, "I don't think it's right. They said they were supporting the troops, just not the war." Mark and Christina Mundy of Tallahassee suggested the veterans have earned a special right to have their voices heard. Mark Mundy said they were in Vietnam, which may or not have been a just war, and quite a few people feel the way they do about the war in Iraq. They shouldn't have been kicked out. America's about free speech. But Charles LaCroix, an Air Force personnel superintendent in Vietnam and second vice commander of American Legion Post 13 in Tallahassee, said, "We don't care where they are as long as they're somewhere else. It's disrespectful, that's what it is, and I just can't stomach or tolerate or conceive these people." Colonel Michael Spack, a retired colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves and professor at the Chicago Kent College of Law, noted the U.S. Supreme Court considers free speech less protected at privately sponsored events like this parade than those that are held publicly. Spack said, "The court has held they can't stop you from picketing, but they can stop you from marching in a private parade. There's a difference. If it's a city event, that's one thing, but if it's private, they have a right to bar a group." Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. See, it's a story like that. It's a story like that that, at the same time, makes me want to cry and makes me want to just whip somebody's ass until they can't stand up. It's just an outrage. People who have served in the military, people who have been in theaters of combat, like these Vietnam vets. These are not Vietnam-era vets. These are Vietnam vets who are protesting this war. Being kicked out of a parade
because of their point of view. Oh, Jesus. Quick break. We'll be back.
Our cities are crumbling. Our schools are disgraced. And we're building more jails, putting weapons in place. What could I do? Remember that unity starts with you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Is democracy dead? Only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start racing.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get your stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Here's what I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We do have the the Scott McClellan stuff coming up here in a moment. But from Santa Fe, taxi driver number 12.
How you doing?
I'm doing. How about you?
Hey, I need to, announce this. I have my own chat room on this system, and in the same system, there's an excellent political chat room. Can I give out the address?
Sure, sure, go ahead.
Okay, the name of the parent chat system is called sfwest.com.
Oh, you better do it again, because that...
This letter is SF, like San Francisco, but just SF West. S-F-W-E-S-T.
Okay, S-F-West.
.com.
Okay.
And then you click on chat lines when you go to the front page, and then the top of the page is the Boston Tea Party chat room, which is the political chat room.
Yeah.
And at the very bottom, there's my room, which is atheist, theist, free thinkers, and theists. Anyway, so go to the Boston Tea Party chat room, and you have to register a name. They have to email it back to you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's really good, and there's conservatives and liberals, and there's all sorts of picking and fighting and mudslinging and yellow, you know.
Okay, well, thousands of listeners right now are stampeding their way to that website, trust me.
Yes, SF West.
SF West.
.com. Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it. I don't want to clear out my message there. Just go there and say number 12. My handle there is X.
X?
X.
E-C-K-S?
No, like the letter X, like X marks the spot.
Okay, well, I was just trying to spell it for you. Thanks, number 12.
Yep, bye.
All right, sir. You have a nice, pick up lots of fares. Have a nice night. Wouldn't you love to be in Santa Fe right now, Kathy? Oh, my God. All right. Let's start the Scott McClellan stuff, okay? We got enough time here. This is from today, the briefing today. All right, kiddies, it's time to play Guess the Word of the Day. Okay, now if you remember a few weeks ago, it was progress. See if you can guess Simple Scotty's new favorite word today. Now, a reporter starts this off by saying, Scott, what did these meetings today with Ambassador Bremer yield, if anything? Any decisions? What message does Bremer now take back to Iraq?
Ambassador Bremer has been having some very positive and constructive discussions with the Governing Council and Iraqis generally on the way forward. Ambassador Bremer will be going back to Iraq to discuss some of what took place here in these discussions and talk with them and listen continue to listen to their ideas and other leaders in Iraq as well.
Oh, Jesus. Can't guess a new word yet? Okay, I'm going to give you another shot. Here, Scotty continues to stonewall on the nature of Paul Bremer's meeting with the Too Stupid to Be President today. The reporter says, Scott, some members of the Governing Council in Iraq are talking about establishing a provisional government. Is that an attractive possibility to you? What did these meetings with Ambassador Bremer yield, if anything? Any decisions? What message does Bremer take back to Iraq now? Scott, what? And try to figure out what Scott is saying here.
Not going to get into speculating about any timing or any decisions. I think that Ambassador Bremer will go back and talk with the Governing Council about some of the discussions that were had here in Washington. He brought here to Washington some of the views from the Governing Council and the Iraqi people themselves. I think that those are discussions that are agreed to amongst a group of people that it was important to come back and sit down and have some intense discussions about the way forward. That's what this was about.
You got a clue yet? Okay, stick around. Quick break. We'll come back. You'll figure it out. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Oh,
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A group of marine scientists writes up a new definition of normal to help protect coral reefs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Coral reefs are some of the most diverse of all marine ecosystems, but the picture of what's diverse today pales in comparison to what the reefs were like 1,000 years ago. Marine scientists say the description of what was once normal for coral reefs shows how badly they need protection today. A dozen scientists studied the history of coral reefs around the world. They documented a steady decline in their health that began hundreds of years ago. They say coral reef ecosystems will not survive for more than a few decades unless they're protected thoroughly and immediately. One of the scientists is Deborah McArdle. She's a marine advisor with the California Sea Grant Program. McArdle studied reefs in the Caribbean Sea near the Virgin Islands. She uncovered details about their diversity as they existed several thousand years ago.
There used to be many, many large turtles. There used to be many large fish. There used to be many large lobster and abundant lobster. I think once people start to realize there were so many animals, then we can start to set targets for what we want the ocean to look like, which are appropriate in order to restore them.
McArdle says many reefs have been destroyed by overexploitation of large fish at the top of the food chain. That starts a series of events that produces huge amounts of algae, and the algae smother the coral. McArdle believes proper fishery management could restore the health of coral reefs as long as it addresses the enormous impact people have made on them already. The study by McArdle and her colleagues was published last summer in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, we are right in the middle of the game. Guess the word of the day with Simple Scotty McClellan. All right, we're at the press conference, press briefing today. Reporters are trying to get some information about the meeting between Paul Bremer and George Bush. I'm sure Bush was sitting in there furiously playing his Game Boy while Bremer and Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz and whoever else they could bring up out of the dungeon sat there and tried to decide what to do now that things are going straight into the deepest sections of hell in Iraq. And there sits George. Click, click, ding, click, 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 ding, ding, click, click, click. Look! Look, Uncle Dick! So the reporters are trying to find out what happened in the meeting. Another reporter tries to find out why Bremer made this unscheduled emergency visit to the White House. The reporter says, let me try this way, Scott. Coming into these meetings with Ambassador Bremer, the president's position was clear. He said he wanted to have a constitution drafted and then have free and fair and democratic elections. Has the president now authorized a change in that system that perhaps could see an interim constitution and maybe an interim appointed Iraqi administrator?
You're asking me to get into speculation about certain options or ways forward. I think, no, you're asking me to talk about possible, you're asking me to talk about possible options about the best way forward. I think those are discussions that are best had talking with the governing council. They have ideas, talking with them about the best way forward. That's what we're doing. That's the best way to approach this.
He is kind of a valley boy, isn't he? They have ideas. They're talking about that. Cool, man. You're asking me to. All right, have you got the word of the day yet? No? Okay, maybe you'll get it with this one. Here's another attempt by the crack White House press corps. Reporter says, Scott, the American people are being asked, and Congress has approved, $66 billion in spending next year in Iraq, including $20 billion in outright grants for the reconstruction of a country that has the world's second largest oil reserves. Scott, do the American people have no right to any insight into the president's decisions about whether or not he has made a fundamental change in his earlier position about Iraq's constitution?
Yeah, I think those are discussions that are had between senior administration officials, along including Ambassador Bremer in the region. We have those discussions about we recognizing that this is an important period that we are in right now. That there's a lot of activity going on, and I think those discussions were had with all those concerned, and the decision was made that it was best to have some further in-depth discussions.
So does that answer the question the reporter was trying to ask? Any of these reporters were asking? Huh? Do you like that? Do you like this? Okay, we're not done yet. Have you got the word of the day? Isn't this fun? Another reporter tries a different tact. He says, Scott, I think we all understand that you don't want to get into too much detail about Ambassador Bremer has had a chance to talk, or until Ambassador Bremer has a chance to talk to the Iraqi Governing Council. But on the other hand, when the discussions happen at the UN, where that deadline was set, the U.S. was quite clear and drew a line saying it could not move toward any sort of appointed government because it would be inappropriate before a constitution was written and elections were held. So I'm only asking you, Scott, does that policy still stand?
We're having some serious discussions, both within the administration and with the governing council and Iraqi leaders, about the best way to move forward. I think to get too far into a discussion about what that may look like moving forward would be getting into speculation at this point.
Oh, Jesus. The same reporter presses on. He says, Scott, does the U.S. still have positions that does it have things it will not accept regarding the need for an Iraqi constitution? Huh, Scott?
I think the best way to address that is to say that we're continuing to have some intense discussions, and we're having those discussions with the governing council and the leaders in Iraq. I think that's the best way to approach it, is to let those discussions move forward.
Oh, God. It's a madhouse. It's a man. Has everybody got the word of the day? Huh? Have you got the word of the day? In those few, let me see, those 14 seconds and 16 seconds, that's 30 seconds. Hold on. 30 seconds. All right. There's another 20. That's 56 seconds. Another 23, 56, 66, 70, 79 seconds. Here's another 31. So that would be 80, 110 seconds. And 26. So 136 seconds, which is a little over 2 minutes. And the word of the day was said in those little over 2 minutes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 times. I'll tell you what. Let's just give him one more hint. Play the last one again. Number 12. Play it once again. This is where the reporter continues. Jim, the reporter, presses on, trying to get an answer. Does the U.S. still have positions that, you know, things it will not accept regarding the need for an Iraqi constitution?
I think the best way to address that is to say that we're continuing to have some intense discussions, and we're having those discussions with the governing council and the leaders in Iraq. I think that's the best way to approach it, is to let those discussions move forward.
Anybody got it yet? Yeah, nobody cares. Every single line in here is just dead. All right, let me look at the email. Is there anything coming in on the email? Anybody? They've all gone home, Kathy. I don't know. We did something to piss everybody off tonight. Maybe it was...
Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
Maybe it was my language. I don't know. Word of the day. Adam got it. Here we go. Okay. Oh, and Keycat got it. Okay. Adam got it. Keycat, is that how you pronounce that? Keycat? Keycat got it. Okay. Anybody else got the word of the day? Maybe it was too easy. God, these people just grate on my nerves. All right. Just a couple more here. Just stay with me here. On a different note, we got the word of the day. If you've got the word of the day and you want to call in, Adam and Keycat decided to email. But while we're waiting for you to call in, on a different note here, reporter Connie wants to know why Bush keeps talking about the war in Iraq when no war has been declared. Connie says, Scott, the president keeps saying that we're in a war. We're at war. It's my understanding, though, there hasn't been a declared state of war since World War II. Have we declared war? Now listen to this.
War was declared on America on September 11th, 2001.
By Iraq?
When some 3,000 people lost their lives here in America.
Oh, my God.
And this is the war on terrorism. The president has made that very clear. This war continues. This war will be a long war, but we will see it through, and we will prevail. Until we rid the world of those who seek to spread fear and chaos.
Can you believe that this is a spokesperson for the government of the United States? I don't care how sick and perverted and wasted and much of an ass that George Bush and his cronies are. Can you believe this moron, this jerkwad stands there and talks like this? This is for public consumption. This is for global consumption. And we wonder why the rest of the world is looking at us now like we're all a bunch of just stoned-out, blithering morons in this country? Now, last one. Listen to this. No. Stop it. Listen to this. As Simple Scotty backpedals off his last comments, claiming he doesn't know what he just said. I want you to hear this. Reporter says... Well, Scott, a follow-up to Connie's question about war. When she asked you about whether we're in a state of war, you mentioned that war was declared on September 11th. Are you now revisiting the link between September 11th, after the president came out in Iraq and said there was no link?
I don't know exactly what you're referring to and what I said. I've always said that September, and the president has always said that September 11th, taught us of the importance of confronting the new dangerous threats that we face.
The question was about Iraq, and the answer was September
11th. Yeah, Iraq is the central front in the war on terrorism.
Can you believe this? This. Be careful now, Mike. You've already apologized once tonight for your bad language. Okay. This Simple Scotty says, I don't know exactly what you're referring to and what I just said. This is the face of this corrupt, filthy, degenerate, vile administration that now runs the United States. And I will say it again, I using the Pat Buchanan analogy, I do not understand why the peasants, that's you and me, are not in the streets by the tens of millions with the pitchforks and the burning torches to remove these thugs from office. My God, the Yugoslavians did it. Leland is calling from Santa Fe. Leland, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, I understand.
That's right.
Well, welcome aboard, sir.
Well, thanks a lot.
The word of the day?
Discussion.
What did I count? 16 times in less than just slightly over or just slightly under 2 minutes discussions. Have you ever heard more of a moron than Scott McClellan? I mean, at least Ari Fleischer, even though he was just a world-class liar and a spinner, at least he could put together a coherent sentence.
You know, I don't watch much TV, and I don't listen to the Bush spokespeople. I get most of my news from people like you and Progressive Underground on the web.
Yeah.
And a few populist papers, so I don't really know, like, The Nation.
Well,
I don't really
know
what Fleischer and McClellan are like, but when I listen to McClellan, it just reminds me of all the morons that I went to Yale with for 3 semesters before I decided to drop out.
No. They're that bad in New Haven?
Oh, they're just the same.
Oh, my God.
They're all the same.
Well, you know,
They're all running on this treadmill, and that's like just reminds me of all the very depressing days that I spent.
Well, Leland, I do not listen. I cannot listen to these press conferences. Thank God. Thank God Kathy is able to tape them and then find the most outstanding examples of total half-assedness, and which allows us to play them on the program without having people have to listen to the entire press conference. But it's just astonishing. It's just astonishing. Well, Leland, I'm glad you called. I hope you'll call again, all right?
Mike, listen, I've got one last thing.
Sure.
I want to say. Do you know another fellow by the name of Michael Rupert?
Yeah, I've had him on the program.
Have you really?
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to announce to you and to people on your program that he's going to be here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on Friday, November 14th at 7 p.m.
That's this Friday coming.
This Friday coming, and the title of his talk is Truth and Lies of 9/11, Wall Street Wars, and the Energy Crisis. Should be very interesting.
Where's it going to be held, do you know?
It's going to be at the University of New Mexico Continuing Education Conference Center.
In Albuquerque.
1634 University Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And tickets are $20 in advance, $15 for students. And the tickets are also available through tickets.com or unmtickets.com.
Well, he's quite a speaker. People can go to his website, fromthewilderness.com, and I'm sure get information about copvcia.com and get information about this in Albuquerque. But thanks for sharing it with us, Leland.
I finally figured out what that website means, I think.
Cop versus CIA?
That's what it is.
Yeah, well, that's how Rupert started out. He was an L.A. Detective. Working in a narcotics unit, and he got involved. I don't remember the specifics of the certain case, but he got involved in a huge influx, of drugs coming into L.A., and his investigation showed him that it was being imported into this country by the CIA.
Yeah.
And it was at that point.
That was the early 80s?
Yeah, during the Reagan years, when Oliver North was, that rat bastard disgraced to the Marine Corps, when Oliver North was importing huge shipments of cocaine to use to finance part of the financing of the illegal war in Central America. And Mike Rupert stumbled onto this. And he was told to get the hell off the case, mind his own business. This had nothing. It's just like some movie. This is being handled by people much higher than we are here, Michael. And he became what he is now because of that. So,
yeah
it's he's quite an interesting dude. Leland, thanks.
Yeah, the other part of that story is that they were using those drugs, that drug money, to fund weapons sales that was being channeled through Israel to Iran, which is, of course, one of Israel's avowed enemies. But, of course, when it's about making money, you can always sell the weapons to the enemy.
Somebody will find a way to sell them.
Right.
Thanks, Leland.
No problem.
Take care. Hi. Everybody has the word of the day now. That's for damn sure. Rob is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to call in to quickly summarize what Scotty had to say today, in case anybody missed it. Here's my summary of it. Pertaining to our current policy, it's real short. Pertaining to our current policy in Iraq, we're currently in discussions in which we will soon be discussing how to discuss future policy discussions, but I am not able to discuss those discussions at this time. Soon the discursive repercussions of these discussions will be discussed as the percussion of our talks with the Russians go on with dispassion. As for discussions with Bremer, he is discussing with compunction our missions, decisions, and predispositions. Got all that?
I got it.
Okay, have a good evening.
Thanks, Rob.
You take off your gloves and shoes.
There's nobody home.
The sign says there's no vacancy. As you stare at me vacantly, the lights are out, but I can't see. There's
nobody home.
Oh, no, there's
nobody home.
I love your smile, but when you talk,
there's nobody home.
I love it when you speak your mind.
Nobody home.
It's nice to have some quiet time.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If you're hacking, just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, so lots of people sent in, emailed in the word, of course, discussions, including a new listener, Jenny Bean, who listens, I think she listens in her art attic. She's an artist, works at night and listens. But so many of you sent it in. A couple of them, though, are kind of cool here. Dave in Tampa said, Mike, I thought the simple blanks word of the day was And Michael said the word of the day was Stonewall. You people are way too creative. Let's see, what else we got here? Greg says, don't you see what's happened, Mike? Rush Limbaugh gave all his oxys to Scotty. Rachel wrote in, or Lorianne wrote in, please wake me up from this nightmare, Mike. I wish to hell that C.J. Craig and President Bartlett was the true reality. You can at least understand those folks. Yeah. The word of the day. That's good. John is calling from Wausau, Wisconsin. Hey, John, we got about a minute, pal.
Hey, I have your number on speed dial.
Oh, well, good for you.
You know, I watch Wolf Blitzer every day. And,
well, one question, though. Is it the top of your speed dial list, or is it in the middle?
Oh, it's at the top.
Okay, good. All right.
I watch Wolf Blitzer every day, and I was wondering what your observations are on him.
He cracks me up. I worked at CNN twice, and so I've had contact with him at the Coke machine and in the lunchroom and in the hallways and so on and so forth, although at the when I worked there, he was in New York, but he would come down every once in a while. He's a strange dude. I refer to him as the former German U-boat captain, Wolf Blitzer. What happened? Was that a car that went off the road? Anyway, John, Wolf Blitzer, and I understand he's Jewish, and I understand he was a correspondent for the Jerusalem Post, and yada, yada, yada. But if ever anybody on television looked like a German U-boat commander, it's him. I think he's a jackass. I think he's a total jackass. He is very inarticulate, but he's a nice drone. He'll do what management at CNN tells him to do. And he's, you know, there's no inflection, no expression. He just stands there and tells what they tell him to do. But, yeah, German U-boat captain. John, we're out of time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, producer in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robert Bittman, of course, announces for us. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Go there, check it out, say hi to our militant moderators. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Thanks to all of you. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you live.